Kof Ches Shvat, Tuesday the 17th of February, Rabbi Elchanan Goldblatt, The Gift of the Nesi'im.
Mirshus, this is a sikha which our Rosh Yeshiva of Panch Melevitz gave in the year Tovshin Lamed Beis. I have to tell you, I actually gave this year a couple of days ago in a different venue. Can I say what a relief it is not to see anyone here whom I saw then? So the centerpiece of the parsha is the Mishkan, and the parsha begins by listing the materials that needed to be given. Zahav, v'chesef, v'nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, usacheles, v'argamon, v'sulash, v'ni, v'sheish, v'izim, and so on and so forth. And as one looks at the psukim, the a priori one would think that they're going in order of the most expensive first. Zahav, which is gold, first thing listed is the most precious metal, followed by silver, followed by copper, and so on and so forth. And the problem with this is Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin says, Avnei Shoham v'Avnei Miluim. Avnei Shoham, which is very helpfully translated as Shoham stones, because I don't quite know what it means, v'Avnei Miluim, and precious stones which were put in to fill the settings. And we actually know, that these were far, far more expensive than the gold and the silver. How do we know that? So the Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Shem Levitz, and I should mention that the Torah is his and the mistakes are mine, quoted a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin asks, how far does the mitzvah of Kibbutz extend? And it tells a story of a gentleman called Dom of Ben Nesina, who lived in Ashkelon. Dom Ben Nesina wasn't Jewish, and he had stones which were appropriate to be used for the ephod. The Gemara has discussion as to how much they were worth. One view is 600,000 gold coins, the other is 800,000 gold coins. Chachamim came to him to buy them, and the key to the strongbox was under his father's pillow, and his father was asleep. So Dom Ben Nesina said, sorry, I'm not waking Dad for merely 600,000 or 800,000 gold coins. In the following year, a Pora Aduma was born in his herd. The Chachamim came to buy it. He said to them, Yodea ani bochem, I know, she'im ani mevakish mikem kol momen sheva olim, if I ask you for all the money in the world, you'll give it. All I want from you is the 600,000 or 800,000 that I lost last year on the Avnei Shoham. So it's apparent from that Gemara that Avnei Shoham are worth 600,000 or 800,000 gold pieces, much more than Zahav, Kesef, Nechoshes, and so on and so forth. So the Erech Chaim asks, what are they doing at the end of the list rather than at the beginning? And to this he gives two answers. We will focus on the second answer. I'm not sure that this morning we're going to have time for the first one. So it goes like this. Where did they get the precious stones from? Let's spend a moment on the word Nesi'im. Let's speak a bit about Dikduk, or as my son insists I say, Dikduk. The three-letter root of Nesi'im is Nun Sin Aleph, which is to lift or to carry or to bear. So Nesi'im, which we normally understand as princes, are people who are lifted up, they're exalted above the community. But the word also in several places in Tanakh doesn't mean princes, it means clouds. Clouds, which if you think about the physics and about the Matthias, are lifted above us. The Pasuk Nesi'im Voruach has got nothing to do with princes, it means clouds and wind. And likewise, the Pasuk we see every Shabbos morning, Ma'aleh Nesi'im Mikzei Ha'oretz, means he brings up clouds from the end of the earth. So the Gemara in Yom Darshans, HaNesi'im Heviu, Esav Ne'a Shom, Ve'esav Ne'a Milu'im, that it means not just that the princes brought the Avnei Shom, that the clouds brought them. The princes, so to speak, won the lottery. Every morning, apart from Mon, the clouds brought them precious stones, and it was these precious stones that they gave to the Mishkan. So says the Yorah Chaim in his second explanation, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us for gifts for the Mishkan, he's not asking for things which have value on the market. He's not asking for things which are expensive. May eis kol isha she yidevenu libo. What he wants is nedivus leiv. What he wants is that we should give the things that matter to us. Easy come, easy go. The things into which I put effort, those have value to me. But the things which I simply find outside my doorstep every morning have no value to me. I didn't put effort into them. They may be, as these precious stones were, extraordinarily valuable on the market, but I am perfectly happy to give them away. After all, I made no effort to get them. We have to presume, said the Rosh Yeshiva, that the reason why it was that the Nesi'im, the princes, found these precious stones which nobody else did, is because they were on a madrega such that they deserved it. It's not an accident. It's not luck. It's not that just that they won the lottery. That's not how it is. They deserve to have these precious stones in a way that the rest of us didn't. Nevertheless, because of the fact that they had not put effort into it, the level of Nadeva slave in giving it is significantly less than gold if one had worked for the gold, or silver if one had worked for the silver, or copper, or the skins, or whatever else it was. How do we know? How do we know that the people care more about things into which they put effort? So Reb Chaim used to quote a Mishnah in a Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Mishnah goes like this: Hamafkid peiros etzel chaveiro, someone who stores fruit with his friend, afilu ein avudim, even if they're starting to go off, either they're being attacked by the mice or else they're just rotting, as in the nature of organic substances, lo yigabahen, don't touch them. This is the Tanakam. Rav Shin ben Gamliel, Rav Shin Gamliel says, mochron bivnei beis din, sell the fruit in front of a beis din to make sure you're getting the right price. Because what you do if you sell this fruit while it still has value before it goes off, and you sell it at the appropriate price, which the beis din will determine you're doing, is it like hashavas aveda? You're making sure that the owner of the fruit doesn't lose. You'll put the money aside and give it back to him. So Gemara asks on the Tanakam, who said, if somebody has deposited fruit with you, don't touch it. My timer, what's the reason? Omer Rav Kana, Adam rotzer bekav shelo mitishukadim shel chaveiro. A person would rather have his own thing, even if it's only one kav of it, rather than nine kav in nine times as much of somebody else's. What does that mean, says Rashi? Chaviva olov, one's own kav is beloved to him, al yedei she'amal behem, because he worked at it. Kav she'yishoye lo mehem, hu rotzer, and a person prefers the single kav of his own fruit, where he ploughed and he sowed and he manured, whatever else it was he did. Or if it's fruit from a tree, he pruned the tree, he trimmed the tree. A person prefers to have the kav of the fruit on which he worked, mitishu kav shel acherim, rather than nine kav in nine times the quantity on what somebody else worked. Evidence, said the Rosh Yeshiva, that the things that I care about are the things into which I have put effort. Now, what is it that people care about most as they work on something? Usually the first thing that's produced. A Bechur has a particular precedence in various ways. He's the first. He's the great. He was expected in various special ways. There is only one mitzvah on a yochid in the whole Torah, said the Rosh Yeshiva, on which there is the privilege and the mitzvah of hishtachavoya, of prostrating oneself there in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah Bikurim. I've worked through the whole winter, the spring, whatever the agricultural details are, I don't know, ask the archers. And I've produced the Bikurim, and I take whatever it is I've produced, and only a small quantity, and instead of keeping it for myself, and it is the Bikurim, and it's the first, and it's wonderful, and we've got the fruit this year, thank God, and we never knew that we'd... That I take to the Beis HaMikdash. And that is something which is harder for me to do than giving stuff which I bought in a marketplace, or even the second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth piece of fruit. And because when I give something into which I put that effort and about which I care so much, it's as if I'm giving my heart and my soul as well as the fruit. That's why it is that there is the only case of a korban yochid where this applies, of v'hishtach avisa lifnei Hashem Elokecha, of bowing down, of prostrating myself there in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so where have we got to? We are suggesting that the reason why the Avnei Sharam and Avnei Miluim are listed last in the list of materials given to the Beis HaMikdash, even though in terms of monetary value they are the most expensive, is because they cost least in terms of effort. And the more I put effort into something, the more I care about it. And the less I put effort in, the less I care about it. And when I've really put effort into something and then I give it to someone else, I'm giving my heart and my soul. There is a very peculiar Gemara in Sot, it's number 11 on this list. By the way, you don't need to look at the list. The list is only there to show that I did my homework. But number 11 on the list goes like this. The Pasuk says that when Yocheved put Moshe in the box in the River Nile, thereby seeking to demonstrate, I suppose, that she was doing what Paro said, though she wasn't in any sense doing what he intended, Vatikach lo tevas gomer. She took an ark made of wicker work, Says the Gemara in Sota, my Shnogoma, why wicked work? Amar Reb Loz, extraordinary statement. Amar Reb Loz, and we come from here, we see, Letzadikim, Shemamonam, Chavav, Aleim, Yosa, Migufon, they care more about their property than about their bodies. Kol Kach Lama, why? Lefishen Post in Yudeim, Begezel, because they don't steal. Says Rashi, Chavav, Aleim, Amonam, Domov, Mu'otim. She took Goma, which is cheap. He was safe in a wicker basket, but he'd have been safer in a wooden one. So why didn't she get wood? Well, you know, it would have cost a few pence more, wouldn't it? Be more expensive. Tzadikim, their moment matters to them more than their... I mean, it's extraordinary, isn't it? It is extraordinary. It is remarkable. So the Rosh Hashiva said a pshat, based on what we've been saying so far, better than this I don't have. He said this. He said, we have been saying that what people care about is that into which they put effort. He said, tzadikim do shiva bedikas and shiva chakiras to make sure that their money is kosher. When the Gemara says their money is choviv aleim, more than their guf, lefi sheng poshtin yedein begezel, they put every possible effort into the money to make sure that it is kosher money without the slightest fiddle scam, God forbid anything worse than that. Therefore they care about it. Therefore, even though Yecheved is looking at her son, the son where, according to the Medrash that Rashi quotes, when he was born, the house was filled with light. You know, the Pasuk says, Vatera Soki Tohu, she saw that she was good. Have any of us ever met a mother who looked at a child and said, oh, repulsive? I mean, every woman, when her child is born, sees that he's good. That's the nature of the Bria. That's how it is. The Chiddush is that she saw that he was good, the house was filled with light, Ki Tohu. Nevertheless, when it came to saving his life, she wouldn't spend an extra few... Said the Rosh Hashiva, that's the pshat in this. Having spent shiva bedikas and shiva pakiras ensuring that the money was kosher, money mattered to her, no other reason. I put the Medrash Tanchuma in a different font, because it's not in the Sicha. I put it there, not him. Medrash Tanchuma says, Rabbi Yonason B'Shem Rabbi Yisag Lili says, 974 doras HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekapel, to give Torah to the Dor HaMidbar. The Dor HaMidbar is the 26th generation from Odom, if you think about it. 10 Doras from Odom to Noach, 10 from Noach to Avram, and another 6 till we get to Moshe. So rather than Dovol Tzivon Elef Dor waiting 1,000 generations before giving Torah, he gave it to this generation. Why? Says the Medrash, Shehayu Yesharim, because they were honest. Goodness me. And it links it to a pasuk came to Yotzim in Mitzrayim, Achashlosh Chodosh and Dosnim Esaterish Nema Bachodish Ashlishi. That is pshat in a pasuk Yitzpun liYeshorim to Shia. He gives Shia. He gives Torah to Yeshorim. So if this is true, if this is correct, that what we care about, what matters to us, is the things into which we put effort. And easy come, easy go. If I win the lottery, I'll be happy to squander it. While if I work to build something up, I will care about every penny. It casts a new light on the famous Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai. The pasuk says, in Bechukosai Teilechu, if you go in my chukim, in my statutes, says Rashi, I might have thought this means keeping mitzvah, says Rashi, it can't mean that, because the next bit says, Ves mitzvah taitishmeru. Mani mekayim in Bechukosai Teilechu shtiyu amelim. But Torah, we have to work at it. Why do we have to work about it, at it? You know, would it not be easier and simpler if I could, I had an eidetic memory, I could just look, photograph, and I'd know it? Well, yes, and I would know it, but it wouldn't be mine. I wouldn't have put my heart and soul into it. My brother-in-law used to have a work colleague. He saw her one day flicking through the pages of a computer manual, and he said, what are you doing that for? I mean, nobody does that. What you do is you look in the index when you need it. She said, I have a photographic memory. I just photograph it, put it in the back of my mind, and I look it up when I need it. Now, it's terrifying, but it's real. Wouldn't that be better? No, it wouldn't. That wouldn't be B'chukosai Teilechu. That would not be Amelim B'Torah. That would have no value. That would be easy come, easy go. It wouldn't. That would not be Torah that was in any sense mine. The Gemara says, Harav Shemochel Al Kvodo Kvodo Mochel. A Rav can be Mochel on his covet. And the Gemara quotes in this context the pasuk which says, Vashem Oleich Lifnei Hem Yomom, Hashem was going in front of them. So then the Gemara in Kiddushin, it's number 15 here, asks the following kasha, Omer Rava, Rava said, Och Yashda, that's all very well, Hazem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Medilehu, the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Dilehu, the Torah is his Torah. Machal Leil Yekarev, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Mochel on his covenant to go in front of us, well, why not? It's his covenant, he can do what he likes. But Hacha Torah Dilehu, the covenant one gives to a Rav is not because of who he is because of the Torah that he has learnt and that he exemplifies and that he personifies. That's not his Torah, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. It is not for the Rav to be Mochel his covenant. His covenant comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. The Gemara replies, no, Hodorama Rava in, yeah, it actually is. The Torah does belong to the Rav. Dirsiv, Uvasaraso Yege, Yomam Velaila, the Gemara is dashing the Pasuk in Tehillim. Ki im Besoras Hashem Chefzo, one who desires the Torah of Hashem, Uvasaraso Yege, Yomam Velaila, Poshup Shatis, Soroso, the Vav at the end, the suffix there means Torah Hashem, but the Gemara is dashing that it doesn't mean Torah Hashem. What it means is that if someone delights in the Torah of Hashem, it becomes his Torah. It becomes the Torah of the person who takes delight in it. Says the Gemara, if someone has really learnt properly and put his heart and soul into it, it becomes his Torah. Since the Torah now belongs to the Rav, if the Rav wants to be Mochel his Torah, he's entitled to do so. Consequently, Arav Shemochel al Kvodo, Kvodo Mochel. And on this basis, he said a pshat which I had never thought of in the Gemara we all know about, Yogati Amotsosi Tamin. We have all of us, I presume, at least I anyway, always thought that meant, someone comes and says, I didn't really work at it, but I know Kolato Rikula. Don't believe him. Somebody says, I really worked and I never understood. Don't believe him either. Reb Chaim didn't learn like that. Reb Chaim said, it's perfectly possible to have the person who can just look and know, for sure. But that's not called Motsotsi. If it did not fall into the category of Yogati, I put in effort, then it doesn't fall into the category of Motsotsi, I found. It's not his Torah. It does not become his Torah unless he's put effort into it. This shear is not my shear unless I worked on it and prepared it for you and for me. Otherwise, yeah, if there's no Yogati, there may be that's not a real Motsotsi. And therefore, he said, that's why it is that Torah is regarded as being new every day. People who work at it, care about it, by working at it, by putting effort into it, I come to care about it, and that's why it is that it's as if it's new every day. If I didn't work, I wouldn't care. If I didn't care, I'd get bored. If I work about it, I care about it. If I work at it, I come to care about it. And if I care about it, it becomes mine, and I care about it every morning. It's, so to speak, new every day. He used to say, it is not the case that we love the people who do favours to us. It is the case that we love the people whom we do favours to. I read in a paper once that approximately these days, to bring up a child from birth to the age 18 in this country costs £200,000, and that's, of course, without school fees for Jewish schools, Jewish yeshivas, Jewish centres, and everything else. Put up your hand, anyone in this room who profoundly resents the £200,000 that they spent on each child and would rather give the child back and have the money. Yeah, that's what I thought. The Rosh Yeshiva said that it's not the case that we care, that they tell the story about who knows how many Rabbonim, that somebody was thoroughly offensive to them, and they said to their interlocutor, I don't know why he's so rude to me, I don't remember doing him any tovus. It actually does work. So, and for this, he quoted sources. He quoted a Maseches Kala. Im chovitz ato lehido beg ba'avas chavercha. If you really wish to come to love your friend, have a nosav betovosa, do him as many favours as you can. The people to whom I do favours, to them I give my heart and my soul, they're the ones that I come to care about. And he quoted the same thing from the Ochus Tzadikim, but that we don't have time for. So there's a Gemara in Merd Cotton. I do not pretend to understand the Gemara in Merd Cotton. It is beyond my comprehension at the moment. Clearly I haven't worked at it hard enough. But I will tell you what the Rosh Yeshiva said about it. The Gemara in Merd Cotton is talking about how the Malach HaMoviz conducts his business. Says the Gemara, Rav Chista lo yehava yochel lo, the Malach HaMoviz couldn't get Rav Chista. Why not? Lo yehava shozik puma migirsa. He never stopped learning. What did the Malach HaMoviz do? He adopted a stratagem. Solik Yossi Ba'arza de Beirav, the Malach HaMoviz went and sat in a cedar, which was in or outside the Beis Medrash, Poka Aze, it cracked, it broke, I don't know what. And Rav Chisda was distracted. In that moment he stopped learning, the Yochel, he got it. Good, fine. Next case, Rav Chia, lo yhava motzel mikrovele, he couldn't get anywhere near Rav Chia. Same reason. Rav Chia was always learning or doing mitzvahs, there was never any interruption, 24-7, 355 days in a normal year, and 385 in an Iba year, whatever it was. Yom Echad, one day, Idmelei, the Malach HaMoviz, appeared to him, Ka'anyo, as a poor man, also he came. Torif Abova, he knocked on the door. Omelei, Rav Chia came to the door. Malach HaMoviz said, Apikli Rifta, please may I have some bread. Afikule, he gave him bread. Amalei, the Malach HaMoviz said, V'lav merak amarach mara anya, the Rebbe has rachmonis for a poor man. Ahu gavra mailo kamarach amar, why does the Rebbe have no rachmonis on me, the Malach HaMoviz? I am sent to take your life. That is my job. You have no rachmonis. You never stop learning. You never stop. It's not right. Goli lein, he revealed himself to him. Ach vele shuted in a hurry, showed him a fire. Amsele nafshe, so Rav Chia gave him his life. Now, I do not pretend to understand what's going on. I'll tell you what the Rosh Yeshiva said about this. If somebody knocks at the door and I give him a glass of water and a piece of bread, I gave him a glass of water and a piece of bread, and that's that. People like Rav Chia, it's not so. Rav Chia gives a poor man a piece of bread. He's giving him his heart and his soul. Just like Kol Ish Hasher Yidevenu Libbo, what is required that we give to the Mishkan is not gold and silver, but our hearts and our souls. Kol Hasher Yidevenu Libbo. So the Malach HaMoviz has knocked at the door, and Rav Chia has given him bread. By giving him bread, he has come to love him and to care about him. When the Malach HaMoviz then says, now you care about me, please, can I be allowed to perform the function for which I was created? Rav Chia gives him his life, gives him his soul, hands it over. That people for whom we do things, those are the people about whom we care. There is a Gemara in Bava Metzia about how it is that we were zocher to the mon and so on and so forth. Says the Gemara, Pliga de Rebbe Chama v'Rebbe Chanina, the suggestion made in the lines before argues with Rebbe Chama v'Rebbe Chanina. The Omer Rebbe Chama v'Rebbe Chanina, Rebbe Chama said in the name Rebbe Chanina, v'chein tana be Rebbe Shmol, b'schar shlosha zochen l'shlosha, in the schar of three things, we were zocher to three things. You remember the Pasuk says that when Avram Avinu thought that he had three visitors, Goyim, Ovdei Avodah Zorah, it's only we who know that they were Malachim. He took butter and he took milk. So, in the schar of the fact that he gave them butter and milk, they got one. A miracle for 40 years. For 600,350 men and their families on the basis of a small breakfast. Bishav who made Alehem as a reward for the fact that he stood over them, Zachu la Amud ha'onon, he was Omeid, so we get an Amud. The pillar of cloud is in return for the fact that he stood over them. Bishav yukach norma at mayim, is the schaf, let a little bit of water be taken. Zachu l'v'eirah shel mir. I mean, yes, it was a wonderful thing, it was very kind of him, and he was elderly, and it was hot, and he wasn't feeling entirely well at the time, but really, same thing. He gave his heart and soul. He didn't just give them this. When he gave to them, he gave them his heart and his soul. And that's why we get this enormous schar in return. We will try to spend 5 minutes on the first pshat of the Yerachayim, because we've done the second one, and I'll stop at 9 o'clock, even if I haven't finished. So the first pshat, which is here as number 24, it depends on the fact that the Pasuk writes the word Hanasi'im, one yud short. As everybody knows, there are two forms of chirik. There's a little dot under the letter without a yud, and that's chirik, which is a short vowel. And there's a dot under the letter with a yud following, and that's chirik, which is a long vowel. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote Parsha Shlach Lecha, he wrote the word tzitzis, sadi yud, sadi sof. And those who then ask a kash on the famous gematria that tzitzis adds up to 600 and all the rest of it, you should know that the Torah also asked the Kasha, go and have a look at the answer. Now, so the word Hanasi'im in the Posset, which I bunged in here as number 4, is written fairly short of Yuds. So, Rashi says on this, that the Nesi'im brought their present last, Shenis Atzmu, they were lazy. They made a cheshbon. The cheshbon went like this. Lots and lots of things are required. Klal Yisrael will bring whatever they can. We're wealthy. We will make up whatever the shortfall is at the end. And Rashi says, Nisatzlu, they were being lazy. Question arises, lazy? What's lazy? It's a perfectly reasonable argument. And don't imagine, by the way, that the presence or absence of a yud is a small thing. The Pasuk says in Parshas Shlach Lecha Vayikra Moshe LaHoshea bin Nun Yehoshua, Kodesh Baruch Hu added a yud to Hoshea's Nun to make him Yehoshua. Adding a yud to somebody's name is worth a Pasuk in the Chumash. There's further a Medrash which we don't have time to go through in any detail, not that I understand it anyway, which says that when Sarai's name was changed to Soror, so that Avraham at least, and perhaps other people no longer allowed to call her Sarai, the Yud went and complained, "You're only bullying me because I'm little. If I were big, you wouldn't treat me like this. Halavai had been a tzaddik or something." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Don't worry, I'll give you to Yehoshua." So taking away a Yud from someone is worth a Medrash, and adding a Yud is worth a Pasuk. So the Yud, present or absent in the word, Vahanasiyim, is not a small thing. But in the meantime, what's wrong with the Cheshbon? So Rosh Yeshiva said this. He said, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say that your emotions make up your mind and then you find the justification. Rashi said, Nisatzlu, they're being lazy. It's not the case that they thought, you know, the best thing for us to do is, they didn't really want to give. They didn't really want to. So they said, no, we don't. That's, of course, not what it is. Let everybody else give whatever is required and we will make up the shortfall. And Reb Chaim said something which is, in fact, quite dangerous. He said, when one is faced by a mitzvah, don't make cheshbonos, just do it. Just do it straight away. He quoted the Gemara in Brachas of the Amora who saw a woman who seemed to him not properly dressed, and he went and he ripped her inappropriate piece of clothing off, and they discovered she wasn't Jewish. She took him to court, cost him 400 zuz. The Amora said, why is it that Rishonim Nisim happened to those to us? Don't. Because of Mesiris Nefesh, like this gentleman's Mesiris Nefesh, we know 6 Siddurim of Mishnah. They only knew 1 Seder, but they have Nisim and we don't because they didn't Mesiris Nefesh. Now, putting aside what would happen if someone behaved like that in Bizman Hazeh, what's the great Mesiris Nefesh about somebody who makes a fuss about Tznius? So Chaim said, this is what it is. He didn't stop. He didn't think. He saw what he thought was a mitzvah, and he went for it. And that is what the Nesi'im did not do. The Nesi'im, though they were on a madrega such that precious jewels arrived free from the clouds because of who and what they were, but they didn't really want to do it, Nisatzlu, and they made a cheshbon why they weren't going to do it. One more chazal, and I really will stop, if necessary, in the middle of the sentence. The Pasuk says about Bilam vayachavosh es asano, he saddled his donkey. Says Rashi that sinon mekalkeles es ashura, he hated us so much that he went beyond. He should have, it would be far more dignified to get the stable lad to saddle the donkey, but he didn't. And say Chazal didn't help him, because Avraham, at the time of the Akedah with Avraham, the Pasuk says vayashkeim Avraham baboker vayachavosh es chamaro, and he saddled his donkey. The Mesiris Nefesh of Bilam, that he did not make any cheshbonus in the profundity of his anti-Semitism, he just went for it, even if it was below his dignity, is something which endangers us. And the Mesiris Nefesh of Avraham Avinu, that he did not make any cheshbonus, he was instructed to take his son on the understanding that he was going to slaughter him, and Avraham did not stop to consider, to calculate, to work out, but his dignity, not his dignity, he saddled his donkey. That Mesiris Nefesh saved us. Ad kam. Hey.